It's good to be in the house of the Lord, right? Amen. All right. Let's all grab a Bible. You can get the hymnal if you want to. I don't know if the book of Luke's in it. Luke chapter 19. Let's all stand. Luke 19. Let's stand. Very familiar story. Luke 19 verse 1 says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. I wanted to come out Zacharias. That's the wrong dude. Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. Ooh. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature." He was a short guy. "And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house.'" Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings you give us each day of our lives. Many of them, Lord, we just take for granted. But, Lord, we do truly thank you for them. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds to your word. Ask, Lord, that you would help us to receive your word and to be doers of your word, not just hearers only. Lord, I ask you to help me this morning as I bring your word, Lord, that I would say what you would have me to say, be bold about saying it, and Lord, that your words would speak to each of us, that it would pierce our hearts. And Lord, we thank you. I ask you to hide me behind the cross. It's nothing to do with me. It is all about Jesus. And Lord, I do pray this morning that if there is anyone lost in the sound of my voice this morning or here in this church this morning, that today they would receive you as Lord and Savior. And these things we pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. You may be seated. So, I entitled this, "In the Eyes of the Lord." Now, Zacchaeus went up in a tree so he could see Jesus. And when Jesus got there, it said Jesus saw him. Now, I want you to understand, Jesus sees us. Now, the President of the United States, he doesn't know me. Well, I agree with that. But he doesn't know me. Has no idea who Jim Smith is. At least I don't think he does. He may. But he don't know me. Neither really does he even care that he don't know me. I'd say he wouldn't like me anyway. But now I want to tell you something. The President of the United States probably doesn't know anybody in here on a personal basis either. How many of you in here know the governor on a personal basis? Mike. Isn't that old Lombardo or something now? We might know him. I don't know. But I don't think so. But you see, God does know you. God knows exactly who you are. God looks down and he sees each and every one of us. He knows exactly what's going on in our lives. He knows exactly what has been happening in your life. He knows exactly what you're thinking on a second-by-second basis. As a matter of fact, God loves each of us for who we are, the individual that we are. Sometimes it's a scary thought. You ever thought about that though? The Almighty God, the God that created everything that we see. Now I know in schools and and on TV, and if you ever watched the Discovery Channel, or I was listening to something, I was reading something on the news the other day and about some kind of a something that's coming through, some green flash up there in the air. I'm not much on space, but because it never appealed to me. It's there. It's pretty, but I ain't interested in going up there. They have a problem up there. It's called oxygen. And I utilize that quite frequently. So, and they have very little up there, but some guy said 50,000 years ago was the last time it came by. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. He didn't read the Bible. I really don't think it's been in existence that long, but I know what they teach and all of that stuff. But hey, that's just it. But the God that made all of that, put everything into motion, He knows exactly about you. Amen. Knows everything about you. And the funny thing is, He's interested in you. Yeah. Now, some may find that real funny. Especially if you look in the mirror this morning. Dash ain't here, can't pick on him. He don't look in the mirror much. That boy ain't combed his hair in 2 months. Well, he does. When I see him, I comb it for him. But you see, now this man Zacchaeus, when he was approached by Jesus, he probably had some thoughts going on in his mind. More than likely, he was thinking, for one, it says he wanted to know who this guy was. And probably because he was thinking, I may need to tax him. I mean, he was a tax collector. If the IRS calls you up, they ain't calling just to carry on. That's how your coffee was. It's for a purpose. They want to know how come you didn't pay this last year or the year before that. I won't go into what they asked me one time. But he probably had some thoughts. Not just guessing. One of them, he might have said, he sees me. I don't think he really planned on Jesus taking notice to him. For one, he's kind of short. Not to mention he's a Jew, but he's also not a good Jew, according to the Jews. He was a bad Jew. He worked for the enemy, made his wealth off the enemy. And he climbed up in this tree so he could just get an idea about this guy. What he looked like? Where was he cruising around doing? What was he up to? And it says in verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Oh, and you got to figure, at that time, he's probably like, oh, he sees me. You ever been somewhere and you see somebody that takes notice of you? You know right off. Oh, they just took notice of me. Now, I ain't sure if they're making fun of me. Maybe they think I'm good looking. Maybe they think I'm ugly. Maybe I left some gravy on my beard. You ladies. Maybe I got a crooked eyelash or. But you know it when they see you. He knew right then and there. Oh, Jesus saw me. You see, Jesus looked at him. Listen, it doesn't matter where you're at in your life, Jesus sees you. Matter of fact, you may be in the deepest, darkest place in your life. You may be so mixed up in the nastiest, dirtiest sin you can think of, but Jesus sees you. He always sees us. It doesn't matter what's going on. You might be halfway serving Him and halfway not. Well, He knows that. And not only that, He sees you. You see, He still sees us no matter what. A matter of fact, you might be serving and doing everything the right way. Your heart might be right with the Lord. You might be serving Him the way that you feel that you need to and the way that He's laid on your heart. And I want you, sometimes when you're serving, the Lord gets real quiet. And you're like, you there? And He ain't talking to you. But guess what? He knows exactly. He sees you. Just keep on serving. That's what we've got to do. We've got to continue serving. And you may wonder where he's at, but trust me, he knows exactly what you're doing in your life, and he knows exactly what's going on in your life because he knows you as well. You see, he walked up, and he said, he looked up at the tree, and he saw him, and he said, Zacchaeus! Oh, man, do you know that he knows who you are, Kyle? By your name. Before you got saved, he knew who Kyle was. He knows exactly who you are. And he walked up. Now, from all accounts, I'm going to say Zacchaeus was a lost man. But he knew exactly who he was. He understood. Here he comes walking through Jericho, doing what he's doing. And all of a sudden he says, Zacchaeus! That's interesting. To Zacchaeus, that was interesting. He's not only now does he say, he sees me, but now he said, oh, he knows me too. And here's the scary part. He knows us all too well. He knows our weakness. He knows exactly what your weakness is and when it affects you most. So when we know that our weakness is there, why don't we say, Lord, you need to help me because you know I got a problem with this. But we don't. Sometimes we do. I won't say we don't always, but sometimes. And the sad part is it's because we like what we're doing. When we ought to be saying, Lord, help me out of what I'm about to get into. You see, he knows us a whole lot better than we know ourselves. He called you by name. Listen, he called Zacchaeus by name. Jesus knows when you're depressed. He does. He knows exactly when you're depressed. I'm just going to be up front with you. He knows when your depression is coming. How many in here know when your depression's coming? Not really. I mean, I got a feeling. Well, I know when my wife's depression will hit. We got if you come in the front door and you walk past my junk room, it's supposed to be an office. Hey, you hang the left, there's a hall. Right on the right's a bathroom, and then on the left, there's another door. She is not allowed to open that door. That's the depression door. She can't go in that door. I don't care if there's, somebody said I put $50,000 in there. No, she can't open that door. That's the depression door. Why is that? Because there's boxes and boxes stacked this high, them big tubs, full of pictures from 1975 all the way to when we quit developing pictures. and I'll come in. And it's like, what in the world? Oh, look at Marion. Well, yeah, she's in Florida right now. Oh, Lord, we figured it up the other day. She's 47 years old. Oh, that's my first baby. Well, don't look at it. Because it's depressing. When she's depressed, I'm depressed. Listen, it ain't no joke when they say if the wife ain't happy, the home ain't happy. That is not a joke. I don't know who come up with that, but he was a wise individual. And then that other dude that come up with them other words. There's two major words you need. Yes, dear. Don't matter whether you're going to do it, just yes, dear. That'll keep you out of trouble. You can deal with why you didn't do it later. But go ahead and say, yes, dear, because that'll calm things down. You're right. Yes, dear. You're wrong. Yes, dear. You need to do this. Yes, dear, whether you do it or not. Yes, dear. Listen, he knows when we're depressed. He understands that. You ever think Jesus might have got a little depressed? I'd say he probably did. Depression's not a sin, I don't think. Not that I'd figure out. It's because you're realizing what's going to happen. You know, he went and spent how long in the Garden of Gethsemane praying? He was praying about that situation that was coming up. You know, he was shedding tears over that situation. He knew what had to take place. See, he knows when you're headed for trouble. Mm-hmm. He does. Not when you're in trouble. Now, he knows you when you're in trouble, but he knows when we're headed for trouble. That's a fact. He knows when you're heading the wrong direction. You see, we need to remember 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. But you need to remember verse 8. Verse 8 says the devil is out there waiting on you to devour you. He's out there ready to pounce, and you ain't never going to see him coming. That's why the Lord tries to give us the right direction to go in. But we tend to shy away from that sometimes. You know, Proverbs, he knows when you're in the right direction too. You see, the Holy Ghost is there. That one reason He sent the Holy Ghost is for our comfort and our help to understand in prayer. Our help when we're praying. You know, we don't always know what to pray for. Sister Lois was talking to me yesterday, and she was asking me some questions about praying. She said, you know, the Lord's teaching me how to pray through all of this stuff. She said, He's teaching me how to wait on Him. But she said, one of the main things I'm learning is about praying. She said, I don't always know what to ask for, but the Holy Ghost knows exactly what to say. And, hey, that's a blessing. You see, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in thine own heart, lean not into your own understanding. Don't lean under your own understanding, because your own understanding is jacked up. Why is it so jacked up? Because we're taught by the world from the time we pop out of the womb. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that people, when a person's born, trouble soon starts. It attacks immediately. It doesn't wait. And the devil starts using you immediately. Oh, yeah, he can use little babies. That is, you know, that always amazed me. Why is it that a child can sit so quiet through anything there possibly is until the invitation's given, and then they want to get up and they want to meander around and they want to cry and they want to whine and they want to... Why is that? Because Satan uses them. How come? It's exactly what happened. Satan even uses adults. Especially in that time. You see, we have to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We got to lean on Him. And it says, matter of fact, it says in the rest of that chapter, verse 6, He'll give you the right guidance. He'll lead you in the direction you need to go if we're willing to follow Him. But see, that's the problem. It's always that if we're willing to follow Him. You see it here. Turn over there to Proverbs. Hang on to Luke. Go over there to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, page 466. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy ways, not some of them, but all your ways. Acknowledge Him. Understand that He knows what's best for you. Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Listen, He's not maybe going to give you the right direction, you young people. He is going to give you the right direction if you'll depend on Him, if you'll follow Him, if you'll trust in Him. I realize, though, your heart says, oh, but I want to do this. Let me explain something about your hearts. There's Jesse, Cassandra, Jessica, and there's Kaylani. Where's Amy hiding at? There's Amy. Let me explain something to you guys. Your heart is evil. It is. Oh, well, I'm just 10 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old, 9 years old. My heart ain't evil. Yes, it is. According to the Word of God, your heart is evil. Now, don't forget, so is you adults. Oh, that ain't proper English. So are you. No, give it up. Listen, our hearts in general as human beings is evil. That's why we cannot trust in our hearts. Because what's it going to think of? Me, myself, and I. You got three people right there. There's Kehlani, Kehlani, and Kehlani. Me, myself, and I. Same thing with Jessica. Me, myself, and I. Same thing with Hannah. Me, myself, and I. We have got to depend on the Lord. That's why He tells us, trust in the Lord. Not in my heart, because my heart's going to go on what I want.
That's right.
My heart's going to go on what I've been taught.
Amen.
And I've been taught garbage. I mean, they're even using garbage in mathematics now. How in the world can you do that? They got morons that sit around and do nothing but figure up how to mess up children's minds. And they use it in their school books. It's like, are you serious? People are nuts. But that's the devil's agenda. He wants your children. And matter of fact, he's pretty much getting his way. You can watch cartoons. Cartoons ain't what they used to be. Oh, we used to watch a Roadrunner and that stupid little coyote, and he's like he's going to catch him. And he's running and running and running. The Roadrunner stops and right off the mountain, splat! Oh, we can't watch that anymore. It's causing violence in the world. Really? Not one time in my school years did we ever have any guy walk onto campus and start shooting everybody, but we had rifles in our pickups. At school, 30-30, in the window of our pickup truck at school. And not one time did any of our people in our school say, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll shoot up the school today. We didn't have that problem. Why was that? Because we understood that this real life. Now they got computer games. They ain't got a clue what real life is. They really don't. They don't have a clue what my nephew, both of my nephews, went with my dad one time down to the river, the Eagle River. And they wanted to go across to the other side. Well, the Eagle River ain't but about that deep, the majority of it. But there's a lot of water coming down that river. It's all coming out of the mountain. You can't walk across that river. You will fall down. The current is too swift. And besides that, it was cold. And one of them said, well, I want to go the other side. Well, we can't. He said, well, yeah, it's just like doot, 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 doot. He said, what do you mean? Doot, 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 doot. He said, well, there's rocks out there. You just got to know where they're at. In his mind, he's playing Super Mario or whatever they call that. Where they boop, 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 boop. They don't have reality. Children today ain't got a clue what reality is because of what they allow them to do and what they allow them to teach. And it's shame that it's that way, but we didn't have that problem. Listen, I watched a coyote build some stupid thing, and then it had sorry luck. Pat, 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 pat. And he comes out looking like an accordion, you know. And Yosemite Sam.
Yeah.
You know, he had his guns. Big mustache. I grew one like that because I liked him so much. And he carried his guns. And listen, we knew better than to do that.
Amen.
Why? Because we had common sense. They're taking away common sense from the children. You see, here's the key. If you can get people in general to not think for themselves, let the world think for them, then guess what? You'll rule the nation.
Amen.
So they don't want you thinking for yourself. Anyway, I better get off of that. You see, we got to trust in the Lord. Go to Jeremiah. That's somewhere over there. It's about middle ways or close to it anyway. Jeremiah chapter 9, the Bible says in verse 23, chapter 9, verse 23, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." Listen, you might think you're super smart, but don't glory in it. You might be worldly smart. "Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth." Listen, thank God above that He exercises loving kindness toward us. Because if He didn't, we'd all be dead and gone by now. Thank God for His judgment. Thank God for righteousness. And He said, "For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." You see, that's what the Lord delights in. Now, go over here to 1 Chronicles. Lord, I got to remember where that's at. That's way over there, around Kings. 1 Chronicles, chapter 28. 1 Chronicles 28. And I'll get there eventually. Verse 9. "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart," mature heart, "and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Now look at verse 10. "Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Guess what? What's that got to do with us? Does it have anything to do with us? We're not out here building temples. No, but the Lord's called each one of us to build His church. We're all called to build His church. Here's my question, though. Are you building it or are you tearing it down? You're either doing one of the... You're not sitting idle nowhere. There is no such thing as just sitting idle when it comes to building the Lord's church. You're either building the Lord's church or you're tearing down the Lord's church. It just depends. You got to think about where you at in the picture. Are you building or are you tearing it down? And He says, listen, be strong and do it. That's what He tells us. Get after it. Which brings us to the last point. Oh, isn't that nice? 10 to 12. Of course, that's a long point. But anyway, Jesus wants you. You might think, oh, I'm a failure. I fail at everything I do. Well, maybe that's true. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And if I ain't ever failing, that means I ain't doing it. How in the world can you fail a math test if you don't take it? You can't. That's the way you fail it, is you got to be able to take one. And guess what? There ain't nobody in this room has ever been in school and didn't fail a test. You might be the valedictorian one, you know, but you fail. You might be the best there is at whatever you do, but you fail. We all do. If we're attempting to do something, we're going to fail. But the Lord will be there to help you out. You see, you might think, well, I'm a nobody. Guess what? The Lord knows how many hairs are on your head. How many hairs you got on your head, Hannah? Yeah, so we have no idea. I might could tell you how many hairs I lost when I combed my hair this morning. I might could. I highly doubt it, but I might could. He blessed Brother Tony and Brother Anthony's heart. The Lord knows how many hairs should be there if they quit shaving it. Yeah, I thought about buying them wigs just to see what they look like. Hey, we don't have a clue, but the Lord does. Listen, you might think you're a nobody, but the Lord knows how many hairs are on your head. In John 17:20, the Lord said, I pray for those that believe what the apostles taught. Guess what? The apostles taught it to somebody, and somebody accepted it, and the Lord was praying for them. And it went on down the line till one day, if you're saved, you said, oh, Jesus, I believe in you. Please, Jesus, save me. And guess what? The Lord accepted you because He had prayed for you before that. Amen. You see, He was praying for you long ago. That was what? 2,000 years ago, He prayed for all of those that would accept Him as Lord and Savior. He prayed for all of those in the future that will accept Him as Lord and Savior. There's little babies in here. They ain't accepted the Lord for Savior. They don't understand it yet. Now, I will go ahead and add this. If something tragic, God forbid, they would go to heaven because they're covered under the blood of Jesus because they do not understand it. So Jesus got them covered. But once they come to that understanding, they can one day look back and say, you know, I trusted the Lord Jesus. I thank Him for praying for me. Because that's what He was doing. You see, you and me are precious to God. Now, back at Luke 19, He said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Verse 5. Come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And Zacchaeus wouldn't come down and stayed in the tree. No, that ain't what it says. It said, and he made haste. My question there is, are you going to come down out of your tree and do what the Lord wants, or are you going to stay in your tree? We need to get that. Listen, we need to understand. Are we going to stay in our tree, or are we going to come down out of the tree and follow the Lord? That's what took place. Zacchaeus followed the Lord. He was precious enough that as Jesus was walking along with all these people around Him, He stopped and He said, hey, Zacchaeus, come on. We're going to your house. I'm hungry. And Zacchaeus said, oh, let me think about this. No, Zacchaeus said, ooh, he noticed me. He knew me. Wow, that spoke to him. Listen, he knows each one of you. What are you going to do? You're going to say, well, I ain't going to read the Bible. I'm not fooling with this, especially in the evening. I'm tired. And our dad blame sure ain't getting up in the morning and reading it. Because, well, I got to have all the beauty sleep. And I agree, there's a lot of them in here needs a beauty sleep. It ain't helped Larry. It ain't helped Jerry. It ain't helping me and Jeff. Both Jeffs. Oh, Lord, it ain't even touch Roger. But this right here will help you. You see, reading the Word of God will speak to your heart. You can read Harlequin, whatever they are, love stories. You can read, Betty Lou's 101 Ways to Serve the Lord. You can read Max Lucado's stuff. You can read, I like David Jeremiah, and I've got several of his books, but you can't just read their books. You've got to read the Word of God, and you've got to spend time studying the Word of God, and you need to spend, well, I just don't understand it. Well, pray about it. That's what we do. We just need to pray about it. The Lord will give us answers if we'll ask Him. If I read something and I don't get it, I don't come in here and say, well, I'm going to preach this to y'all, but I don't get it. Maybe one of you might. What good's it going to do you? Listen, if I didn't get it, you sure can't get it. Not that I'm smarter than you, it's just you got to pray about things. I just don't understand it. Well, pray about it. That's what you got to do. We need to be praying about it and asking the Lord, help us to understand it. You see, you and I are precious. Oh, that was correct, wasn't it? Woo, man, I'm getting good with English. See, I'm teaching you guys. I'm studying. You and I are precious to God. Now, I know this is the way I've felt lots of times. I felt like a little grain of sand on the ocean. How many of you have ever been to a beach? You poor people that ain't, bless your hearts. Man, you need to go to the beach. How many grains of sand within a half a mile? I like Jessica's answer. Well, that she even had the facial look. You know. But that's true. Listen, ain't no way we know that, but God knows us. We're not just a little grain of sand. There's a guy that sings, and I'm not knocking him for what he's singing. I get it. But he sings about he's just a piece of dust in the scheme of things. And that's the way we feel. But honestly, we're not just a little old grain of sand in God's eyes. We are the crown of His creation. We are made in His likeness, in His image. That's why there's Kehlani, Kehlani, and Kehlani. Me, myself, and I, we're made just like Him. God the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. Kehlani, Kehlani, Kehlani. That's how we were designed, and God breathed in our nostrils. When He breathed the breath of life into Adam, and that breath of life was passed down to all of us. And we breathe that in, and it's like, wow. Listen, we're a living human being because of that. Because of what the Lord did with Adam. You see, we are special. Matter of fact, we're so special that He came to the earth and freely gave Himself for us. So you didn't have to die and spend eternity away from Him. He freely gave Himself for us that we would have life, but not only just life, that we'd have it more abundantly. We can have life. Yes, we can have eternal life. You see, Zacchaeus could have stayed in the tree and had eternal life. But he decided, I want more than just eternal life. I want life more abundantly. You see, when we surrender ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, I will put You first in my life, we can have life more abundantly. And I'm going to be honest with you. You won't regret it. Oh, I just don't know if I want to tie myself down like that. Oh, man. Listen, do you realize how much money I could make if I wasn't preaching? I can. The amount of money they are paying these days is unreal. But guess what? I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Now, if God wants me to go out and get one of these jobs paying big, big bucks, hey, by all means. Do you know, since when I quit shoeing horses, the $125 a horse up there where I was shoeing that's what I charged. My overhead was about $12 a horse, and then I had about $30 round trip in fuel. Well, when you figure up I did anywhere from 4 to 6 horses a day, 4 and 5 days a week, it's like, oh, wait a minute. That's a lot of money. Do you know what they're charging up in the Edwards, Colorado, the same place that I had horses in the big fancy barn there at Cordillera? They're over $200 a horse. Guess what the overhead is now? It's about $16. You can shoe a horse for about $16, but they're getting 2.25 to 2.50 a horse. I'm like, oh, and I love doing that. The last time I did that was at my daughter's, and it about killed me. I paid for that for like 3 days. But it wouldn't take me long to get back into shape, I don't think. My wife is laughing now. Yeah. Look, we need to be putting the Lord first in our life because we can have a more abundant life. He called us all to do something. One thing He did call us to do, and you need to keep that in your mind, is read His Word. You want to know what He thinks about you? Read His Word. You want to know how to discipline your kid? Read His Word. You want to know how to spend your money? Read His Word. You want to know what kind of employee you ought to be at work? Read His Word. Pray about it. Pray about it. Listen, me and my wife pray together. If you and your wife don't, and you and your kids don't pray together, you got problems. And if you want to know why you got problems, it's because you ain't praying about it. I had more problems. My wife would say, well, we need to pray about this years ago. And I'm like, eh. We need to read to the children. We had nothing but problems. That was why. And I was too stupid to see it. Because I wanted what me, myself, and I wanted, not what the Lord wanted for me, myself, and I. You see, we got to do that. Zacchaeus, he came down out of the tree, and by the way, it said, this day in verse 9, salvation has come to thy house. He was even a son of Abraham. He was a Hebrew, but he was going to hell. But he accepted the Lord Jesus. He received Him into his heart because he was willing to get it together. You want a more abundant life, you got to get out of the tree. You want to serve the Lord better, you got to get out of the tree. You want to be what you're supposed to be for the Lord, you got to get out of the flipping tree. You want to be a spouse, you should be. You want to be a parent, you should be. A grandparent, you should be. You need to get out of the dad-blame tree. Because if you don't, your children are going to show what fruit you gave them. And it ain't good. We've got to get out of the tree and do what Zacchaeus did. He said, oh, made haste and got out of the tree. And yeah, come on to the house. And then he turned around and said, by the way, if I took anything wrongly from somebody, I'll give it back to them. But the half of my goods I'm going to give to the poor. I'm going to go ahead and give that. And if I've ripped anybody else off, guess what? I'll give it to them what I think he said, fourfold. He said, if I've ripped you off, I'll give it back to you plus three more. You see, if we're going to serve the Lord the way we ought to, if we're going to be the parent, if we're going to be the employee, if we're going to be the grandparent, if we're going to be the church member, we got to come out of the tree. If we ain't willing to get out of the tree, we're just going to sit there. And you might make it to heaven if you're saved. You're going. There ain't no question to that. But you got to ask yourself, if I ain't willing to get out of the tree, did I really get it? You know, I know people that claim to be saved, and they ain't baptized yet. Some of them are close friends of mine, and it's like, I don't get it. Let me read you one little verse. You know what everybody does? They skip this. They skip this verse. And they skip it on purpose. That ain't no joke. I'm just going to read it to you. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. That's the day of Jesus coming back. And then they skip this verse, so we'll skip it. But a certain fearful looking of a judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Wait a minute. You got to read verse 26. For if we sin willfully, do you know that not going to church is a sin? Oh, now there's a lot of people that will say, you're lying. No, I ain't. You figure it out. The Word of God says if you're not willing to go to church, you're sinning. Willfully. That ain't no different than if I go down there to Dad Blame Treasures on Highland. Sunday. You see, that's a sin to willingly forsake the assembly of the church. Why would we not want to be in church? Why would we not want to be baptized? Beyond me. Why would we not want to read the Word of God? Beyond. Why would we not be willing to pray? I just don't get it. I don't understand that part, but I'll be honest with you. I used to be the same way. But when I spoke to the Lord and I said, Lord, look. Well, I'll be up front with you. When I had a drug problem, I didn't want to get off drugs. I liked doing what I was doing. I liked that feeling I had. It made the day go by faster. Sitting behind the wheel of a Peterbilt gets old. The aches and pains when I was shoeing horses, that got old. The drugs helped me with that. Staying up all hours of the night in the oil fields and when I was trucking, the drugs helped me to do that. And then I got to the point that I liked feeling that way, and I'm like, I'm going to keep it there. People say, well, you got to get rid of that. No, I like it. Well, yeah, but you're a jerk. That's your problem, not mine. I like the way I'm feeling. I like what I'm doing. I like not going to church. But when I went to the Lord and I said, okay, Lord, I need to get off of this. Never would work. Oh, I need to start going to church more with my wife. Never would work. When I finally went to the Lord and I said, okay, Lord, I need off the drugs. This is ridiculous. I want to get off the drugs. That's when I got off the drugs. Because I wanted it. When I wanted to be in church, the Lord made the way for me to be in church. When I wanted to read the Bible, the Lord made the way because I hated to read. I didn't even like reading the funnies. I just looked at the pictures and laughed. Too many words in there to read in that little bitty thing that big around. I'm just like, man, I ain't got time to read that. I didn't want to read it. But when I really realized, oh, that's what I really want to do, the Lord opened the door for me, and it's not a problem. I have read for hours and hours and hours. You see, we got to want. Amen. If we don't want it, the Lord ain't going to force you. You got to want it. If we want our lives to change, and if we want to have a more abundant life, the Lord says, all you got to do is give in to me. Ask. I'll take care of it from here. We take that little step, and He'll open the door. And it'll be so much easier. Let's stand. Sister Diane, if you'll come up, we'll have an invitation. Every head bowed and every eye closed. She's going to read. She's going to play here in a moment. You see, I got a couple of questions for you. Do you know Jesus is your Savior? I mean, are you sure 100% that if you die today, it can happen. It can happen, boom, like that. Might not even be your fault. Will you wake up in heaven? Do you really know that? Now let me ask you another question. If you know for a fact you're saved, there's not a question in your mind, not a doubt in your mind, are you serving the Lord or are you serving me, myself, and I? Because the Lord knows what you're doing. He sees us. Have you come down out of the tree? You see, you might have accepted the Lord, but did you come out of the tree and go eat with it? Or did you just say, no. No, I'm going to stay up here. It's a little safer up here. I ain't required to do nothing up here. What is it? As Sister Diane plays...